All right, praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning on this special Easter Sunday, like no other Easter Sunday I know that you've ever experienced, and we're just so grateful that you're joining us online. Keep those pictures coming. I have something to share with you this morning. Here's another one, someone having breakfast on Palm Sunday and listening to the message with their family. So I think that's just awesome. In fact, Palm Sunday, over 2,000 people viewed the message that went out on Sunday, and we even added a few more states to it, 11 states. That's incredible. I think Illinois got added, and Florida, and some other states. I mean, who knows what God is doing, but we want to just do a shout out to everyone who's tuning in this morning on this special day. And I don't know what your week was like this week as we went through the Passion Week. We even had times on the porch. I hope you got to tune in for some porch chats. We might be doing some more of that in the future, but we spent Monday, Thursday. Well, some parents sent in some pictures. Here's an interesting picture of a mom with her son making some palm branches to put out and give out to folks. And there's a couple of our little ones that made their own palm branches out of crepe paper. Isn't that great? And they're worshiping in their home. I don't have all the pictures to show you, but those kids were even preaching and just embracing the day. It just blessed me as a pastor. And then Monday, Thursday, this picture came to me of some brothers and sisters washing each other's feet. I tell you, that touched my heart. I teared up on that one. I thought, wow. You guys are incredible. My wife told me stop saying you guys, but we just appreciate you so much, and you're engaging this opportunity, and some incredible things I think are going to happen. Amen. I hope you enjoyed walking with the disciples and Jesus through Passion Week. Many of you have been texting me. We have felt the highs and lows as we walk this week. Each day, whatever they experienced, we read about. And today, of course, is the culmination of all those days coming together, coming off of Good Friday. What a down day that was. And now we're coming to Resurrection Sunday, and we're celebrating it today, Easter, online. Be like nothing you've ever experienced before. And today, as we celebrate, we're celebrating the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. This is our Super Bowl Sunday, is what that is in the church, right? Because this is the day Jesus took it into the end zone, and we're all benefactors. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I heard a report this week that is projected that over the next 24 hours, more people we'll tune in Easter Sunday to hear the gospel message online around the globe than has ever accumulated in history. Because of a virus, it's happening. And I want you to know God is redeeming this moment, and I pray that you will do the same thing. Well, we've encouraged you to pray, and that is what knits us together, even though we're not all together like we're used to, but we are praying together, and intercession knits our hearts together in a spiritual way. It's supernatural. And tonight, as we always do, we prayed for all of you. As we went over all these seats, we prayed, and we just believe God to touch you in your home this morning, wherever you are, that this will be a great day as you worship and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord as a family in your home. Amen. So I'm excited about that, and I'd like you just to pray with us right now. Just get your family together. Get your friends. If you're with friends, if you're by yourself, just reach your hand out, and we're going to agree together in prayer like we've been doing every week. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to gather together on this, our special Sunday, the highest day of the year. Lord, when everything, all your promises, Lord, came together in one place, and we are the benefactors. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon the millions of people who will be hearing the gospel message today. It's great news. It's good news. And it's going to go probably to people who have never heard it before. And we pray your anointing upon it. We pray for, as we have every day, we pray for leadership in our church. We pray for leadership in our city, in our county, Lord, in our state, our nation, and internationally, around the globe. Father, we pray that you will give them wisdom and direction. We hold them, we honor them, Lord, and we hold them up in prayer, and we ask you to anoint them with your wisdom. Turn their hearts, like the Old Testament said, you turn the hearts of kings like a river. And we pray you will do that again, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, as we prepare our hearts to receive the Easter message this morning, I wonder if we could ponder this question on the screen. What does Easter mean to you? And we might get different answers. But I know that sometimes if we're not careful, now this year will be different, but in years past, we come together and it's kind of the same thing every year. I often compare it to maybe a menu at a restaurant, maybe at your favorite restaurant. All right, I didn't mean to bring that up. I know we can't go to a restaurant, but you can think back and remember your favorite restaurant and that menu, you know, and it's so familiar to you, isn't it? In fact, you don't even read it anymore because you know what's on it. In fact, you might be like me. My wife says I'm so boring where I say, bring me the usual. Bring me the usual. She said, try something creative. I say, don't fix it if it's not broken, right? But sometimes I think maybe a day like this can be like that. It's so familiar to us. And you know what happens? We end up losing our wow. Because this is a wild day, like no other day. And sometimes we lose that wow, and just because it's so familiar to us. And I'd like today maybe to get that wow back. I think before we're through here today, right in your living room and your dining room and your kitchen, wherever you are, God's going to give you your wow back. And I'd like to introduce the sermon today with a short video that I think will help remind you of the wow of this special day. And our skit guys gave us permission to put this online, and so I hope it'll encourage you like it did me.
The word Easter literally refers to the time of year in the spring when the days become longer than the nights. But for the person who knows Jesus Christ, Easter means a lot more than that. It means that even though Jesus died, salvation didn't. Even though Jesus was buried, hope wasn't. Because Jesus is alive. Easter means there is forgiveness for my failures, grace for my guilt, and mercy for my misery. Easter means that the pain and the silence of living in a Saturday world isn't purposeless and it isn't permanent. Easter means that I can't out-sin the grace of God and I can't outrun the reach of God. It means that Jesus is King. Light overcomes darkness. Justice will win and brokenness will be broken. Easter means that the scars on the hands of Jesus are telling a story of victory, not defeat. And the same is true for me. It means that I am not alone, not ashamed, not forgotten, and not forsaken. It means that the rain and the storms and the wind and the waves of this world will not have the last word, because my future is a resurrected body with a resurrected Jesus on a resurrected earth. Easter means that I can join with a choir of saints and angels singing, oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your sting? Oh hell, where is your song? Easter means that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for me. Easter means that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me.
Wow. That's something, isn't it? I think somebody changed the menu, huh? Yeah. Wow, I think somebody changed the menu, didn't you? I picked that up. That wasn't the same old menu. There were some specials on there. Did you see the specials that God has for us, that he's prepared for us? I tell you, I watch that video, I get excited. I played it 3 or 4 times before this morning just to remind me, what is Easter all about? Resurrection Sunday. This is the day when God has done some incredible things for us. We have learned as a congregation, and many are familiar with the question we've been asking over and over throughout the year. It's become a filter for us. It's a simple question. We often ask it when maybe we're in a situation we're not sure where it's taking us, or we can't really see beyond the horizon, or maybe we have a lack of understanding. And kind of like the disciples this week, did you pick up on it? You know, sometimes we're a little hard on them. We think, man, didn't you were with Jesus for 3 years. Didn't you get it? Don't you remember the words he said? But you know, don't be too hard on them, because, you know, I think that's in there so we can actually not be hard on them, but relate to them. Because I relate to that in my own life, times of doubt and times of struggle, times when I know what God's word says, and yet my circumstances are coming in heavy on me. And sometimes it's difficult, and I get a little discouraged. And so we have learned to use this particular question in our life, and that's the question that I wonder what this will make possible. It's a question it's meant to open our hearts to possibilities that maybe we haven't considered that are beyond our field of vision. In fact, this week I was in on a group text, and someone had lost their job this week. That's not good news you want to hear. And as I was observing the text going back and forth, guess what? This question, somebody brought it up. I wonder what this will make possible. And everybody agreed. Because that's kind of what the disciples felt too, because things weren't going the way they thought. But little did they know this was going to make something possible that they couldn't even imagine. So this morning we're going to consider that question in the light of this special day, the resurrection of Jesus. What does it make possible? And we're actually going to look at four resurrection truths that are made possible because of Easter, all right? And I call it the great exchange. In fact, I want to consider this truth in light of a childhood memory that I have. And I brought a little sack lunch with me that reminds me of this childhood memory. When I was in elementary school, some of you might relate to this, I really looked forward to lunchtime. It was when it was lunchtime, man, I beelined it to the cafeteria. And there was a bunch of us guys that met together on this long table. It probably wasn't that long, but that's the way I remember it. I went back to that grade school as an adult, and I thought, what happened to that big gymnasium? It's just a little bitty thing. It wasn't very big at all. So that table probably wasn't as big as I remember, but it seemed awful large. And we would gather around that table for what I called the great exchange. Because we would all take out our lunches. You know what I'm talking about, right? And we'd get in our lunch, and we'd pull out. I remember I'd have a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And I'd hold it up and see what everybody else had. And hopefully someone would be willing to trade my sandwich for another sandwich. Or maybe pull out some potato chips or, a Snickers candy bar. That trumped everything, didn't it? And we would have these exchanges. And what was our goal? What were we trying to do? We were trying to trade up, weren't we? We were hoping to get, you know, hey, I remember Twinkies. They trade up for a Twinkie. That was a big deal. And then we'd spend 15 minutes trading. It was like the New York Stock Exchange, I'm telling you. And we were trying to trade up. And so I believe this morning, I want you to think about this sack lunch, because I believe the disciples are in a position where they're going to trade up. Because they've come to the table and they've brought some things to the table that probably they would look and think they're not worth trading. But I believe that on resurrection morning, some things happened to them, just like happened to me in grade school. They were about ready to trade up into some things that God was providing for them. And we'll find it in John, the 20th chapter, is a familiar story of this morning. And I just want to read it to you if I can. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out with the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. And as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again to their own homes. What did they believe at this moment? They believed someone had stolen the body. When it says he believed, he didn't believe in the resurrection. That hadn't entered their mind. They believed someone had stolen the body. Even after everything Jesus had told them, they came to this place and somehow they couldn't remember his words. They were overcome with grief. Have you ever been there where things are just not going the way you thought they would? I can only imagine what it was like Friday night. I can only imagine as they met together, they were afraid. They thought they'd be next. I bet they sat around like we often do when someone passes away telling stories. Remember when Jesus did this? Remember when no one even considered what Jesus said was true. I mean, he told them what would happen. Well, in verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down, and she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels while sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." That's all it took. She knew. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." I imagine she started running towards him, you think? You think she might have wanted to give him a hug? Didn't know about social distancing. She was ready to go for it, wasn't she? And Jesus said, No, do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken those things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Wow, there was a big exchange getting ready to take place. What did they bring to the table? Fear and doubt and unbelief. They were hiding. They were in the ditch of fear and anxiety. They thought what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. And so they locked the door. They probably had 3 deadbolts on that door, you think? They just saw probably every noise they heard. They jumped and were afraid. And then in the midst, here is Jesus standing there. And what does he give them? He gives them peace. And I believe that's something that God wants to give us today. He wants to exchange that. He wants to exchange your fear and sorrow for joy and peace. If we go over in John 16, just flip the page back a couple pages. Jesus is telling his disciples, before it ever happened, he was preparing them for what was going to... It was hard for them. I know we look at it and go, "Well, guys, weren't you listening?" I think we'd be the same. They were just having a hard time connecting the dots. But I'm sure they remembered this passage in John 16:16. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." And some of the disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and we will not see him. And a little while, and you will see him. Because I go to the Father." Isn't it amazing? They're asking questions among themselves, and Jesus is standing right there. All they got to do is ask him. But they're talking among themselves. You know how it goes, right? Do maybe one of you understand what he's saying? Because it's sure confusing to me. They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he's saying." Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and so he said to them, And are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me?" And then he said these words in verse 20 and 21. It's on the screen, so you can read it with me. "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful. Did Jesus know what they were going to do in advance? He did. In fact, John recorded it, but he loved them to the end. He even knew Peter was going to deny him. But he also knew that there was going to be an exchange coming. And he was preparing them for it. He told them what would happen. He said, and then he said, but your sorrow, is you will be sad, but it's going to turn into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. In verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy, the joy I'm going to give to you, no one will be able to take from you. That's a great exchange, isn't it? He's not telling them to pump up joy. He said, I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you my peace and my joy, and nothing's going to be able to take it away. That's a pretty good exchange. Or would they be trading up? They'd be trading up, wouldn't they? To be able to trade their fear for this joy. Remember, the definition of joy is a delight in God that is not affected by pain or by pleasure. He was giving them something they were going to need for the days that were ahead. Well, what about the second thing? Here's the second big exchange. He wants to exchange for their doubt and unbelief. He wants to exchange faith and power. Well, let's just keep reading this story, and we're going to see it unfold. We left off with verse 20. We'll pick it up with verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. He came back. I don't know if he went to Quick Trip or what, but he was out getting something. And he came back and he said, you won't believe what happened while you were gone. What happened? Jesus came. He was here. He stood in the midst. He said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Man, I'm glad Thomas is there. He kind of takes a bad rap. We're kind of hard on him, but I relate to him. Don't you? Don't you relate to him? And here he is. I mean, come on, after all that's happened, it'd be hard to believe, wouldn't it? And here are these guys, they're all giddy about it. He says, man, I got to see it to believe it. He's from Missouri. He says, you got to show me. And what happens? And after 8 days, and is that kind of a bad deal? He made him wait 8 days? Why didn't Jesus just pop right back in? No, he waited 8 days. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in their midst. He said it again, peace to you. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, I can just imagine Thomas is there. He looked over at him. Maybe he motioned for him. Come over here, Thomas. Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it in my side. Do you not believe? And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I like these two last verses, kind of interesting. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. We're going to have to find out about that later, aren't we? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What an exchange. Were they trading up? They were trading up. They were trading their doubt. Oh, poor Thomas. He just wouldn't believe unless he saw it. But he came and Jesus showed up and he responded to him right where he was. And I want you to know Jesus will respond to you in that same manner. And he made an exchange with Thomas that day. He took his doubt And he gave him faith and he gave him power. Wow. Wow. In Romans 8, 11, man, this is a wild scripture for me. The Spirit of God, who has raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Remember, Jesus breathed on them. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And later Paul said, it's true. The Holy Spirit has come and he lives within us. Who is this Spirit? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Man, we traded up, didn't we? We traded our weakness for God's power. Wow. What about number three? Here's the third exchange. I like them all. They're all my favorite. I keep saying this is my favorite one, but it is. He's going to exchange our limited access for full access. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, it's recorded for us in Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. Then Jesus shouted out again. He was on the cross, and he cried out, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. And we know that's when Jesus died. And what happened? At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. What was happening? Well, this was the temple, and there was the holy place and the most holy place. And there was a curtain that separated that most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. Some believe it was 60 feet, 70 feet high. I don't know. But it was so thick, they said that you could hook two horses to each end of it and have them pull in opposite directions, and they couldn't tear it apart. But it was torn apart that night. The moment Jesus surrendered his spirit to the Father, the scripture says the curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom. He was saying to us, your access is changing. It's not going to be limited access anymore. You're not have to go through all these little steps. No, you're going to have full access to me. You don't believe it? Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest, we're talking about Jesus. This high priest, he understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings and temptations that we do, and yet he didn't have any sin. Do you understand that? We have a high priest. He understands us. He's sympathetic. That's why he didn't get all heavy on the disciples. He understood their weakness. But he said, I'm going to exchange your weakness for my power. In fact, if you keep reading in verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Wow, this is a great exchange, isn't it? He's giving us access to the grace of God, to the throne of God. And we can come free. So oftentimes we want to hold back, but no, we don't have to. I mean, it's a little scary, isn't it, to go. The God who numbers the stars and calls them by name, he's giving me access? It'd be like somebody giving you the key to the Oval Office and saying you could go in anytime. I remember when JFK was president, I wish I had the picture, I'd put it up here on the screen, but his son would come into the White House all the time, and some of the most famous pictures was his son, John, crawling around under his desk. And he was present when there were leaders from around the world there. How could that be? Well, it was his father. And he had total access to his father. And so do you. So do you. You trade it up. It's only possible because of the resurrection. If the resurrection hadn't happened, then Jesus would just be in that tomb. And you would not have been able to trade up to peace and faith and power. You would not have been able to trade up to access. You wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to have the faith and power that God has given to us if he hadn't risen from the dead. Well, now the last one. Number four. This is a great exchange. You got to reach deep in your lunch bag for this one. I don't know what you have so far there's nothing in my bag that even compares to what I'm getting. I mean, it's like, I can imagine at lunch, that'd be like getting something of greater value for something of lesser value. And you just go, wow, that's you would trade that? You would give that? That's what Jesus has done. And now he's exchanged my sin for his righteousness. This is the greatest exchange of all, isn't it? In Ephesians, I'm just going to read it to you in chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Most important scripture, I hope you've committed this to memory. It's the roadmap for what God has done to us, for us and to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, became for us, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. You see the exchange. For by grace we have been saved. Grace is when I get something I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get something I do deserve. He says he's rich in mercy, and by his grace we've been saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, the Apostle Paul declared to the Corinthian church, he said, For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are you getting your wow back yet? That's the biggest wow of all. That Jesus took my sin. He took my lunch. And he gave me a banquet dinner for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Jesus came and he became sin, my sin, and I became his righteousness. So when God looks at me, he looks at me as if I lived Jesus' life, and he looks at Jesus as if he lived my life. What an exchange is this? It is our atonement. We're going to come, and I hope you're prepared this morning on this special day to bring your cup and bread and with your family and just gather around, because in light of this great exchange, we want to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Because he died on the cross for the joy that was set before him. And that joy was you and me. And because of the shedding of his blood, this great exchange is now possible. And if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, Paul said we'd still be dead in our sins. But when he rose from the dead, it sealed the exchange. It sealed the exchange. And Psalms 103, 11 and 12 says it best. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as high as they are above the heavens and the earth, so great is his love for me, for those who fear him. I want you to think about this while you got the cup and bread. Do you understand this? And then he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our transgressions from us. Have you ever went east and tried to catch up with west? What's he saying? He's saying that he's going to take our sins and he's going to remove them. They're gone. They're not just covered. They're eliminated. And he says he'll never bring them up against us again. It's like holy amnesia. What are you talking? The devil will remember him, but he won't. Because of the cross and because of the resurrection, I can claim this promise today that all my sins, God has taken them and he has exchanged them for his righteousness. Now, I'm not trying to live righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to battle this thing anymore. I've accepted the exchange, and I gave Jesus, I gave him everything that was in my lunch. And he gave me something far better. I traded up. My sins are as far as the east as from the west. And I have this cross over here, and I have on here these papers I've written on it. You might not be able to see it. I've written some sins on there, some of my sins, the sins I've done. I don't know what you've committed, but whatever they are, I want to claim this scripture for you today, and I want you to visually see what God is saying. Because when your sins are forgiven, here's what's going to happen. Jesus says, they're going to be gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. Anybody want to say, wow? Wow. Wow. My helpers here are saying, wow. Are you saying, wow, where you're at? Do you understand the exchange that has happened for you today? Stop bringing up what God has already removed. It's gone. And in its place is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, as we take this cup and eat this bread, we can't help but go, wow. Everything changed that day for us. And we declare today, with saints down through the quarters of time, that your sacrifice was enough. And we receive it today. We receive it. And Father, those who are listening to this, there may be those who've never asked to receive that gift. They've held on to their lunch, and they don't realize the exchange that you would like to make with them. And all you require is that they would have faith to believe. And we confess again today that you so loved the world. God, you loved the world so much you sent your Son to die so that those who believe in you would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for not coming to condemn the world but to save the world. And that's what we celebrate today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you'll tune in next week. We're going to continue in our series on positioning ourselves for kingdom living. God bless you.